world where only the strong survive. There comes a time when the only way to settle the score is a one-on-one battle to the finish. Two entrepreneurs enter, but only one of them leaves. It's the Entrepreneur Showdown with Joe Cassandra and Dan Franks. Now, on to the showdown.
That's right. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Entrepreneur Showdown. My name's Dan Franks. Across the way, that's my partner, Joe Cassandra. And today, we're going to tackle some tough topics in the entrepreneur business world. First, we're going to talk about what's more important, love of what you're doing or the money that you get out of it. We're going to talk about rebranding your business and rebranding yourself, how to do it, when to do it, and why. And we're going to welcome somebody on as our special guest in the main event who's tackling this very same issue, and that's Chris Guthrie. We'll find out what he thinks and why he's doing it himself.
And after you hear that nice little tussle we're going to have, head on over to entrepreneurshowdown.com. You'll get all the links to everything we talk about, and you'll get some bonus content as well. And then while you're in iTunes, make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the new episodes we coming out. And if you give us a 5-star review, we will greatly appreciate it. Now, on to the showdown.
Round one.
That's right. It's time for round one here of the Entrepreneur Showdown podcast. And today we're looking at something from michaelhyatt.com. It's a guest post by a lady named Lucille Zimmerman. She's an author, and she can be found at luciellezimmerman.com. And we'll have the link to this article in the show notes. But the title of this article is, Are You Doing It Because You Love It? Or for the reward that follows. And this is the topic that we've discussed in some ways previously and we'll probably continue to discuss because it's a super important topic. Why do you do something? What's your motivation? Are you purely motivated by money? Are you purely motivated by enjoyment? Or is there a blend of both? And I really think that this is an important concept for people to maybe take a step back and look at themselves when they're considering their business ventures. Just to give a quick background to the article, Lucille splits these motivation factors up into two ways. You know, in the title, she calls it love or reward. But in the article, she calls it intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation. So the intrinsic motivation would be self-gratifying. You do something because you love it, or you do something because whatever the end result is rewarding to you, nothing else. Then, of course, the extrinsic is what we all know as doing something for the money. So, Joe, what do you think is most important, and what do you think needs to be focused on as the main focus if someone's starting a business?
I think one leads to another, whichever order you put it in. I guess that's up to you, but I know for me that I always start with the intrinsic motivation where I guess it kind of depends on your background, because if you grow up, like I grew up in a big family where I guess you get caught into like the group of things, and that sometimes you need to figure out a way to stand out. And it's not for any type of praise or anything, but for your own pride that you actually went out and did something different than the rest of the group. I grew up in a family of 11 kids. So I guess like one of my things, like I lived in Ireland for a year working there and volunteering there. And that wasn't for any type of praise or anything. That was more for my pride and my, I guess, growth as a person. That was for me. And then I was also giving of my time to other people. And that stuff translated into changing my mindset to now for me thinking, okay, now how can I use these type of skills and turn them into something that can provide, I guess, financial means or personal branding means or any type of recognition that puts me out ahead of other people. So it's kind of like it's a path that you follow. You start out with one thing, and how is that helping you to then go and move to the next step where you're actually making a living off of it, or you're actually getting a step ahead of everyone else that you're competing against?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this topic is just so interesting. And for some reason, this article brought kind of a different thought process out in me. So as opposed to me comparing this to an entrepreneurship business or a startup business, I thought about like an athlete, and I pictured an athlete or a sports star. So there's this big argument that everyone, when their hometown hero leaves for another team to go for somewhere for more money. So take, for example, someone like Albert Pujols, big slugger that used to play for the Cardinals and now he's with the Angels. When he became a free agent a few years ago, everyone in St. Louis was just sure that he was going to stay in St. Louis. Now, sure, they weren't going to be able to offer him the money that some of the other teams were, but he had spoken before that he enjoyed playing there. They were successful. They won a couple World Series with Albert on the team. So everyone believed that this intrinsic motivation is what was going to keep him as a St. Louis Cardinal. But as it turns out, he got money whipped by the Anaheim Angels, and he went there. And Albert showed that to him. While intrinsic motivation was a factor for him because he had spoken publicly about it before, he was huge into charities in St. Louis, he loved his hometown there, but he proved that his extrinsic motivation was more important to him. He went somewhere for the money. So I think that you can't just say someone is either intrinsically motivated or extrinsically motivated. There's absolutely a blend here and a crossover, and sometimes while both factors are coming into play, one just wins over the other.
Well, we don't want to get into a sports argument because I would argue that point that he went for the money, but... And maybe when you reach one of those points where you've achieved all your intrinsic motivation where you are, you achieved enough extrinsic motivation, you've received the World Series, you've received the MVPs, Slugger Awards, whatever, that maybe you want to go on and try and build something somewhere else. So that could be my argument to defend him since Albert did not want to come on our podcast today. Okay, so he achieved those extrinsic motivations, and so now he's trying to go and maybe find that intrinsic motivation again. Because to achieve, I guess, extrinsic motivation, you need to have something going on the inside. You need to have high self-confidence, high feeling of self-worth. The people who don't have those are the ones who usually aren't the most successful because they're down on themselves and they lack confidence. So sometimes you need to find a place, even if you've received all this extrinsic motivation, if you've received so much of it that it becomes normal, you need to find a new way to find that, build up that self-worth again and build up that value in yourself.
Well, to circle back to this article, and Lucille mentioned, she told a story about her son-in-law who passed the CPA exam, and she specifically said his motivation for pushing through all the hard work and studying to pass this exam was because his employer had a big bonus for him waiting at the end of it. And I can speak on a similar experience that when I was going for my CPA exam, just like this, when I was studying for it, I too had a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow kind of thing. I had a financial reward for passing it. But, you know, nobody's going to tell me that I wasn't intrinsically motivated. It was me and that test one-on-one. You know, that test and I were in the showdown at that time. I was not going to let that test beat me. If there was no money involved, once I got through that, you know, I was proud. I had pride because I know I had worked hard. I had expelled all this time and effort towards it. And the feeling of self-accomplishment was, to be honest, way more powerful than any money that I would have gotten. So I think she told this story like that was something that, you know, was a clear example of extrinsic. I would almost say that it could also be a clear example of something that's intrinsic. So maybe the exact same accomplishment for one person can be motivated in the exact opposite way of the motivation that another person used. And then Lucille goes into this self-determination theory that she calls it. And there's three needs people need to feel. And the premise behind this theory is that these three needs that people have are the need to feel competent, the need to feel related, and the need to feel autonomous. So these needs are needs that inherently everyone has. They need to feel competent at whatever it is they're doing. They need to feel related, which she describes as being connected to others. So they need to feel like they're not in this alone. And they need to feel like they're autonomous. They need to feel like while they're not in this alone, that this is something that they can do themselves. And she's saying that all three of these needs could technically be met by either kind of motivation. So it's just a matter of each person has a different way to get there.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you're battling. Hey, do you follow what makes you complete or whatever stuff the coaches tell you? Or do you go by, hey, this will support my financial goals or this will financially support my family better? You have to kind of weigh those two things. And I guess if you have a long-term vision, you know that what you're doing, if you're doing something that you enjoy or something that makes you feel like your self-worth is raised up, that the money is going to follow after that. But it's easy to see that immediate financial treasure chest in front of you.
So you're saying this is almost a short-term versus long-term comparison as much as it is a love or money?
Well, if you're someone who wants to do what they love and you're not sure how to make a living out of it, you're doing it just now just to make yourself feel more competent, more, I guess, assure of yourself and make yourself feel, hey, I can do this. And you're not actually looking at how can I make money with this in the short term, because you're probably not going to. So if you're looking at it in a long-term perspective, then that's why I said in the beginning, you would start with the intrinsic and then you would go to the extrinsic motivation, because people who start with the extrinsic, they may get that short-term, I guess, cash flow, but then that stuff burns you out. That's why, I mean, you have people that are millionaires that are depressed, because money, and that's a whole nother discussion, money isn't what fulfills you. It's actually the time you have left over and the time you spend with your family and everything. So it's a long-term goal. You can't look at every decision as, okay, here's an intrinsic, here's an extrinsic motivation. It always starts with the intrinsic, and then it moves to an extrinsic motivation.
Well, that's an interesting take on it, and I did not look at it from a long-term, short-term perspective, but I can absolutely now see that that could be a way to look at these and even segregate these two ideas more apart from each other. So those are some interesting ways to look at motivation and what motivates people. And I know that we already have picked out some content in future episodes that examines the same dilemma that people face, you know, doing something for love or because they enjoy it versus doing something because that's where the money is clearly at. So because this is a dilemma that so many people face and there's so many different ways to approach it, it's something that we're going to continue to keep talking about. Well, that's it for round one. Now on to round two.
Round two.
All right. And here we are with round two of the Entrepreneur Showdown podcast for today. And right now we're going to be talking about Chris Guthrie. You might know him from MakeMoneyOnTheInternet.com or the Make Money on the Internet podcast. Chris has been around for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
He's kind of known for being one of the best Amazon affiliate marketers, or Amazon associate affiliate marketers. That's kind of where he made his name and things. But lately he has been embarking on a quest to rebrand his website. And to me, that means rebranding himself. MakeMoneyOnTheInternet.com has been his home for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He paid over $5,000 for the domain 3 years ago. And just taking a quick look at his blog, kind of going back in the history, he's had over 400 blog posts that are hosted on that site. His Make Money on the Internet Facebook page has over 2,000 likes. And now he has 15 podcasts that, you know, knowing him and knowing kind of his stature in the internet marketing world, I'm sure it's a pretty popular podcast. So all these things that are branded as Make Money on the Internet, he is the MakeMoneyOnTheInternet.com guy. That's what a lot of people know him as. But now he's deciding that... Or he has decided, for a number of reasons that he talks about on his website, to rebrand himself to more or less ditch the domain name and just set it up to, you know, a redirect domain name to whatever this new domain is going to be, his new website. He's going to become the new fill-in-the-blank guy. He doesn't want to be the MakeMoneyOnTheInternet.com guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And his main reason is that he thinks it's kind of a spammy name. His reasons for picking that name were SEO purposes that don't necessarily apply anymore.
Yeah.
So he wants to rebrand himself, and, I kind of have mixed reactions to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. He's so established. People know him as the MakeMoneyOnTheInternet.com guy. They don't necessarily know him as, you know, he's not known as the spammy guy. So for all his current, fans and followers and all of that, I don't think any of us, you know, I followed his work for a little while. I don't think any of us see a reason for him to rebrand because we know better, but maybe, you know, he's trying to attract new people and a new fan base and a new audience. Maybe he's, you know, looking to start over. I don't know if it's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand where he's coming from with the, make money online. That screams scam. I mean, if you look in your spam inbox every day, you'll find something that says, hey, work from home over online or whatever. So I understand that part. I'm just kind of trying to figure out, I mean, first you're having to move, and basically, I mean, I wouldn't say start from scratch. He has a great community going. I mean, like you said, up with all the stats that he has. But you got to kind of weigh which is hurting more, having a somewhat spammy name or having to restart everything from scratch? And I mean, I think his brand is him. His name is people correlated, and that's good that he puts like his face on the site and everything, so it's not, it definitely takes off less of the scam type of it. But I think people come for him and for his stories and everything like that. So if he branded to something that even just with his name or something like that, it could work because people are going to see him. If someone else takes over the site, even just takes over that domain and it's just someone else, that site's not going to be as successful because of what he has done with it. So I wouldn't say that make money on the internet is his brand as much as he's the brand, his success, his strategies that he's used that he can help other people along that path. So if he branded himself to just his name, I know he says somewhere in the comments he doesn't want to do that. I think someone else owns the domain, but he can definitely play around with the domain. But, I think the brand is him. So I don't think it's as big a deal as he's making it with the scammy title or anything like that, but I think he's looking at the title too much. Oh, I don't want to sound scammy. He needs to look at, hey, they're coming to see me, and I'm the spotlight. I'm the one that is giving them all this information. They should be, they'll come follow me wherever I go.
Yeah, and to that point, I can definitely see where his name and him, not the make money on the internet title, but where him personally is the brand. He does have a number of Kindle books. He has a number of courses. He goes on a lot of podcasts. You know, we've heard him interviewed quite a few times on various podcasts. And he is Chris Guthrie. You know, he's not the make money on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy.
Because everyone's trying to do that nowadays, make money on the internet. So.
Right. So he's not necessarily known as that guy everywhere. And he does have quite a few ventures that his name is tied to. I just don't know if, you know, this complete rebranding is necessarily required.
Yeah.
I understand why he says he's doing it. I just don't know if he has to do it. Obviously, he's much more successful than either you or I are. but to that point, there's people like us, you know, who read his information. And he's not telling other people to rebrand themselves.
Yeah.
But I think that's really, you know, something you have to consider. And, you know, maybe we have listeners who right now are seeing Chris do this. And, you know, maybe they've been considering rebranding their website or themselves for some time. So that brings up the question, should they? Very few of the listeners can actually relate to facing the challenge of losing 2,000 Facebook followers or, you know, having 400 blog posts that you're known for on one website. Very few people face that, you know, those specific challenges. But quite a few of them, you know, maybe are looking to rebrand themselves. And they might be, you know, taking cues from Chris. And I personally don't think that, you know, you can just jump into this decision, not saying Chris is, but somebody, you know, following along with him who might be considering rebranding themselves. They need to take a step back and not just necessarily rebrand themselves because they see Chris doing it and think it's going to be easy. There's quite a few factors you need to consider before you just jump into a decision like this.
I mean, if you're not at, we're just going to say his level of whatever traffic, likes, or anything like that, you shouldn't even be reading this and trying to take any type of stand on it. Because if you haven't built up that, that following or that traffic, I mean, you can automatically start blaming these factors. Oh, maybe my title is scammy or something like that. I just need to start over from scratch. And then you end up just building a bunch of sites that end up going nowhere. So if you're not at this, we'll just say level again, don't be trying to take this as, oh, maybe I should be rebranding myself. I need to be doing this. I need to be doing that, because it's a totally different game that's going on right now. If you're thinking about rebranding, you have to actually think what's the brand right now that I'm giving off, or what is the brand me? Is the brand the name? Is it the voice? I mean, it's, you just gotta look at all those different factors. So, I was interested in it because he's had this domain since 08, I believe, and now he's starting to try and spin off into I don't know if he's trying to spin into a different direction or just trying to get away from that scammy name, Make Money on the Internet, because it does give off a scammy vibe, but he's already built up a following with that scammy type title that I don't think that's the real problem. I think there's something else going on. We just may not know what it is, but I don't think he can blame it on any type of SEO or anything like that. I don't know. I'd have to ask him because I mean, he's built up, like I said, he's built up a good following. If you look at his posts, he's got plenty of comments that many bloggers would dream they could have. So I don't know. Maybe there's a different issue going on here.
Well, like you said, he does, talk about not wanting to be spammy and not wanting to, give off the wrong impression for what his, the purpose of his site is. But, you know, we're lucky enough to have Chris as our guest on coming up next. So let's ask him these questions. And also, I do want to get into maybe he can give some advice to other people who are not necessarily trying to follow his path, but maybe are considering rebranding themselves. And this just, brought those feelings back. Maybe he can give some advice and maybe give some parameters to what those of us who aspire to be at his level, but maybe aren't there yet. Maybe we're trying to rebrand ourselves to get to his level. So maybe he can give some advice to us on that as well.
All right.
All right. So with that, let's get on to the main event with Chris Guthrie.
It's time for the main event.
That's right. It's time for another main event here on the Entrepreneur Showdown. Our guest today is known as one of the most successful Amazon affiliate marketers and at one point in time sold one of his niche websites in a deal worth six figures. He, up until recently, has blogged at MakeMoneyOnTheInternet.com and has produced the Make Money on the Internet podcast. Today, our guest is Chris Guthrie. You've probably heard him interviewed on many podcasts, but today we hope to get some different and even more valuable insight. Because if you're tuned into round two, you heard us discuss Chris's current task, which is rebranding his blog, which to me means rebranding himself. So enough of the talk, let's get down to business. Chris, thanks for joining us on the Showdown.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we normally start off by asking the guests where our audience can go to learn more about your background, since we're going to dive right into the content. But I really think that's kind of the topic at hand here today. So let's get right down into walking us through the decision that Joe and I have been discussing in round two, which is to rebrand your blog.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of a tough decision because I've had the blog for over 3 years now, I guess, because I only really started it because I was making more money from my websites than my day job when I got let go. And so I was like, well, I have time to start another blog and I can talk about what I've been learning making money. So I went about researching for domain names. And at the time, when I was researching, there was a really big emphasis from Google on how much keywords can influence rankings. And it was, I believe, late 2012 that they removed the bonus that exact match domains can provide for a keyword when you're trying to rank for it. So depending on how experienced your listeners are, people would use that. They would spend, tens of thousands of dollars or more to buy exact match domain names and rank for different types of keywords. And it would help, with their SEO efforts. So, I did the research, on just different types of make money online related terms, even though I knew that just make money online as a phrase and just things around it, people, smart people that come to these types of sites are going to be skeptical sometimes when they see it, right? But I thought that the benefits of being able to rank number one for make money on the internet would outweigh the potential downside of what people might think about it. So I went ahead and bought that domain for $5,000, and the Google AdWords keyword tool, which is getting ready to no longer exist anymore, but I used that tool to do research to see how many people were searching for that term. And before I bought the domain, it was 60,000 people searching per month. But after I bought the name and I started ranking for the term, Google said that they were updating their keyword tool with more accurate data. So what do you want to guess what happened to that keyword? It was not getting as 60,000 searches. It was more like 2,000.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, it was kind of it sucked, right? Because, it was $5,000. Not the first time I've dropped $5,000 and had it not been the best idea. But, that's really kind of the backstory and why I picked that that name, but it's tough now because for a long time I haven't been blogging as much either because I've just kind of been doing a lot of the stuff I talk about as opposed to just teaching it. But I kind of enjoy it. I like talking about different types of things. I was thinking about starting up income reports again, even though I kind of feel like a douche if I'm doing that. But I don't know. I guess if all my real life friends think I'm sort of a douche for talking about stuff like this. Anyways, I was just trying to see how many times I could say that word.
Douche.
Well, so I find it interesting. You picked out this name, and obviously the reasoning behind it ended up not being as strong as you thought it would be. But you successfully built up a large community, a large following with that domain name, yet you're deciding to kind of abandon that and go a different direction. How do you make that decision? Is it purely based on SEO? Because that's kind of what it sounds like. Or is it just based on trying to build that audience more and you think you've kind of hit a ceiling with where you're at now?
I think it's a combination of both. So the SEO standpoint is one thing where it's ranking for make money on the internet isn't that big of a deal. And in reality, I think that potentially Google doesn't give benefit to, I don't know, I think it's unlikely, but I almost would think that they'd be like, oh, this domain sounds like it could be scammy, so let's not.
Like you might actually get punished.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that that's that, but it's also too that I think people's first interaction with my site, so there's a lot of things, right? But it's a really long domain name, so that's one thing. People have to type it in. But just people come to the site and, I mean, I try to make it not look like a scam or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of a typical type site in terms of the content that I write about. But I don't know. I just think that the first interaction isn't that good. And the other thing, too, is what it comes down to is I'm trying to build a software business right now that I've actually been working on for a lot longer time than I'd like to have been before we really kind of release it. But I want to use the blog that I've been blogging at, even though it's kind of been infrequent over the years, to kind of help be an outreach tool to be able to work with other bloggers to, you know, work with them as affiliates or just, you know, whatever. And I think when it comes to get going after more of a mainstream audience as opposed to people that are very much focused on just making some extra money on the side or building that up into a full-time business. I just think that the domain, it's just not the best, especially if you're thinking more mainstream, like other types of, like if I was to try and guest post on the Forbes blog or something like that, which I've seen mm-hmm. other people do, or be mentioned on other types of blogs like that. It doesn't matter how good the content is on my site. Just some editor will see that in the domain name and they'll be like, no, no, no.
So you're pretty much, so this is what we were kind of talking about beforehand is that we think more you're the brand than the Make Money Online name is actually the brand. So like people are coming to listen to you and listen to how you make money and stuff like that. So, and I think you mentioned in the comments you didn't want to like branch off and do a ChrisGuthrie.com or whatever, but it sounds like you have that community already built and they're there to see you. So couldn't you just, wouldn't it be an easy transition to that kind of site?
Yeah. I mean, I offered the guy that owned ChrisGuthrie.com $1,500, a few years ago and
turned you down.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now if it was when I was trying to pick a domain name or not. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I offered him $1,500 and then he was using it as an email address. And I said, you know, you can, I'll also sign a contract where you can use the email address for 2 years. And then that would allow me time to let him continue using it. And, he said no. I haven't followed up with him since then, but, yeah, I don't know. I think that there's positives and negatives to using a personal name for a brand. I mean, it's kind of tough sometimes because if you think where I'm at in my business, it's like I'm getting to the point now where I'm not used to working for free. And so, you know, writing a blog post, it's a lot of work for the most part, it's for free, right? You're using it as mm-hmm. a tool to try and get people to come back to your site and engage with you and maybe buy products that you're selling or whatever. But like for the past year before that, I've been you know, working as a kind of like a project manager managing software products. And it's basically just, you know, I'm solving pain points that I have in my business and that I know just because of how frustrated I am by them that other people will. And so it's easy for me to work on something like that and then email out to everybody, hey, this is a product that I created. You should buy it. And here's the reasons why, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I can sell and make money with. Whereas sometimes it's like with blog posts, like I wrote a blog post about making money with the Kindle book, but I mean, I'm not really selling anything at the end of the Kindle book. It's more just, here you go.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So I kind of want to direct this towards and keep it on the rebranding aspect, but maybe change the topic a little bit into how the listeners, not necessarily you applying this rebranding strategy just to your website and your blog, but how the listeners can kind of apply that thought process to their own businesses. So if we've got an entrepreneur that has their own business and they are either, you know, in the infancy stage, in the middle stage, or maybe they're, you know, they've surpassed where your blog's at, comparing and contrasting the benefits of sticking to what they've already established, even though there might be this little knock on it, whatever it might be, where your knock is the spammy aspect of the name, versus establishing something new and risking abandoning that audience that they worked hard to establish already. Where does that balance come in?
Well, I think that's a good question, but I think that the important aspect to point out is that, you know, I don't have to necessarily abandon the site because I can just use a 301 redirect and set that up to migrate the site over to another domain name. And if I do that, then it will automatically redirect all the traffic and all the links and everything else like that to the new site. So typically, if you're getting a lot of search engine traffic, and this is an important point, switching to a new domain name is really a bad idea. But a lot of the traffic that I get is referral traffic and just people searching for Chris Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess I've never, in a way, I've never really tried to specifically just build up my blog as my business. I've always kind of just used it as like a supplemental type thing or a door to other opportunities. So the traffic that I'm getting from SEO isn't substantial enough. And since I'm not, you know, trying to make money from ads or anything like that, it's not a big enough deal for me to care that much if I move to doing domain name and just 301 redirect. It just means I'll have to keep renewing, make money on theinternet.com for several years. And I won't ever really want to sell it because, you know, 4 years from now, if someone's clicking a link to this podcast or whatever, I want them to be able to be going to my new home. So I don't think it's a huge downside, but I think if you're getting a lot of search engine traffic, it's a really bad idea to switch. But it's kind of that's kind of what goes back to emphasize why it's so important to pick a good name when you start out. If you look at Darren Rose, his photography blog, that Digital Photography School, he has like two hyphens in the domain name, and it's just like super long, and it's I think he might have even talked about how it's not his first choice, but there's no way that he could ever consider rebranding that site with the amount of traffic that he gets. So whereas with my blog, because most of the traffic does not come from SEO, I don't it's not as big of a deal to me.
You had mentioned that you're working on like some software products and whatnot. Are you now then transitioning away from ebooks and stuff like that and focusing more on the software right now?
Well, it's kind of it's all about just doing something that's interesting. So I get bored of doing the same thing. That's why earlier this year I sold off a chunk of my smaller websites just so that I could kind of refocus and have less things. I was kind of, even though with smaller niche websites, you don't necessarily have to be thinking about them that often, I just didn't want to have them even kind of enter my mind about something that were kind of distracting me. So, I mean, I sold off some of my smaller earning sites so I could focus on the bigger ones and then also just bigger opportunities that I could kind of scale. And since I'm not as interested in scaling niche websites through hiring people to help build them, but rather, you know, hiring programmers and all that to build software products, that's kind of why I had done that. But So, I mean, it's more just about doing new things. Like, right now, I'm trying to make more money with the Kindle store, both through books that I'm writing, but not as much for me because it's just, I'm not a very fast writer. So I'm taking, websites that I buy and then writing Kindle books and then marketing them to those audiences. Like I just actually published one a little while ago and it, did really well. I did a free promo to a subsection of the email list and then put it up at 99 cents and I got several hundred sales and then moved it to 2.99. But anyways, I don't want to get too off tangent on the rebranding, but yeah,
that's fine. When you're making, I guess, all these different products, and I was interested, I asked that the software question because I was interested if you were kind of transitioning away from, I guess, like the digital, small digital stuff. Do you see like down 10, 20 years that this type of commerce, these small digital sales is going to grow or do you see they may go downhill some?
I think it's tough to know what will happen in the next 10 years or so. I do think that some of what we've seen with Google, with them kind of becoming an answer engine, which is something that kind of could see was coming when I was looking at some of the companies that they're purchasing. When they purchased some company, I can't remember the name of it, but it had like a database of questions and answers to like common things that people would search. You know, it was like millions or billions of questions. And I was like, okay, well, they're going to start putting these into their search engine, obviously. And sure enough, they did within a year or so. And that's why, you know, you search certain types of questions and now Google's just doing it. So I think that there's some of that, that leak that we're getting now with search engine results. And so one thing that I'm kind of thinking about is in the websites that I'm creating are the websites that I'm building, are they going to have content that can be easily, you know, programmed into an algorithm to be provided as an answer? Or are they going to be more complex topics that are pretty much always need a human to be able to describe them? And so that's kind of where I've been shifting more of my focus in the websites that I buy or build is around that type of criteria. So that, you know, as Google starts to expand into providing more and more answers for everyday questions, within the search engine itself, kind of trying to bypass people's websites. That's kind of what I'm trying to do.
See, that's always an interesting thing that me and Dan always, we somewhat debate on is, and that's why I asked like the 10 years, 20 years down the line, is it good to base your websites and your money tunnels or whatever, money pipes, on Google's, I guess, generosity towards your site or towards recognizing your content as better than everyone else's content? Is that a good model to continue down the line? Because Google's only going to get, I guess, smarter, for lack of better words, that you're going to always have to keep reiterating all your different sites. Is that a good model to base your whole, like I said, money pipeline on, is on Google's generosity toward you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it will still work. I think that I do think that in 10 or 20 years, there'll be people that will be telling maybe their kids or their friends. Yeah. I remember hearing about all these people that are making millions of dollars doing this or quitting their jobs and doing this, but now it's a lot harder or something like that. I think we're still living in the gold rush era where people kind of like how back when you could buy a domain name for $100 and it would be like pizza.com and you'd sell it for $2.8 million
yeah.
15 years later. So I think we're still kind of living, it's not as great of an era like that, but I think we're still living in a time like that where a lot of the things that we're making money with and doing now may be more difficult in the future. So maybe in the future you can only spend your time on a small handful of sites unless you've hired employees and all that to really kind of run and manage them. That's just my opinion. And I think that that's just more reason why every day that goes by that anyone that's listening is not trying to do something. It's just another day that you're going to potentially be missing out on a great way to make money. I mean, I'm always trying to grow my business. Every year I've been able to make more money than the last, and not necessarily because I just want to make money. It's more just to just to be growing and challenging myself to do new things. I mean, I could easily just kind of get a few websites, pay some people to run them, and then just kind of be lazy and not do anything. If that's what you want to do, go live somewhere on a beach. That's feasible and not really incredibly difficult. I mean, it is difficult, but it's not, I don't know. I guess it's just, I mean, I have random things and websites and all that that are making me money that I don't have to do anything for. And it's something that other people could do as well.
So let's talk about this call you put out to help rebrand your blog. Now, you haven't publicly announced if you've made a decision or when the transition is going to happen, but can you let us know if you have settled on something yet?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really decided, because there's one domain that I bought, and I won't share it yet because I haven't decided, but there's one that I bought before I even started the contest that I was thinking about rebranding to, but I couldn't decide if it was what I wanted, and that's why I started the contest. But the problem is that the contest didn't really give me that many good answers. I think that maybe the problem was they were looking at my site and then coming up with names based on what they thought would fit it, which isn't a bad thing, but I think that it also is kind of a good idea. So I was thinking about starting another contest, just not telling anyone, and saying, this is what I'd like to start a blog about, and then come up with a domain about it. Mm-hmm. And then not letting them see what I already have, so that doesn't influence. But
you use this NameStation to try to run this contest to come up with a domain name. So you said nothing really came of it as far as ideas that people were giving you. Did you have a few top ones that maybe got closer, or maybe let us know why what specifically it was about all these ideas people were submitting that were falling short of what you were looking for?
Well, I think it's just a challenge, right? So, I mean, a lot of the domains that were being submitted would have like income in them, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And that's kind of one of the ones I was thinking had income in it. But I mean, I was also thinking too that there's some benefit to just, you know, going after a true brand approach. Like if you look at Neil Patel, who's a brilliant guy and, you know, much wealthier than I am and doing really well with his businesses, he's just on his blog is just quicksprout.com. And I mean, it's like, what does that mean? Well, it means it's Neil Patel. And I mean, he just kind of, I'm not sure if he ever talked about his branding or whatever, but it was very much just a name he picked. I think maybe he thought that he was going to use it as an SEO agency or something. But it's kind of, I thought that maybe I should just do the two word combination that might not necessarily mean anything, but it's more just, that's it, right? So I don't know. I think that a lot of the submissions kind of came back to being focused around the money, which if that's kind of what I was trying to move away from with this domain, maybe I shouldn't necessarily pick up another one that has income in it.
Right.
Then again, you know, you have Pat Flynn with his Smart Passive Income, which is a good domain.
It's doing okay for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, his was a good strategy because he picked that name most likely to try and rank for passive income, which I think he's been able to do. But now he gets his traffic for stuff beyond just that. But that was kind of like he'd probably agree it was originally kind of driven by a keyword idea maybe, but.
Okay, so I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, and this is kind of straying a little bit away from this rebranding topic, but you mentioned that you're going to start releasing your income reports, and this is something that almost every blogger, every podcaster that does this kind of thing, they're either totally for it or totally against it. And oftentimes you see people, it sounds like you used to release them, and then you stopped and you're thinking about doing it again. A lot of people go through that where you'll see them make a big blog post about, I'm not going to do it anymore. But then 6 months later, well, now they're releasing them again. Kind of what's the thought process in that? And it sounds like you've been on both sides of the fence.
Yeah. So back when I first started the blog, I thought I would just start releasing them because, yeah, I was just starting out and I previously started a blog, not incredibly seriously, just trying to talk about online marketing and all that. But shocker, no one really cared about it when I wasn't making any money. So that's when I even decided to do one, which is like, well, if I'm making money and doing this full time, then I'm sure people will want to listen to it. And so that's why I started doing it.
So almost a credibility thing.
Yeah. So I think that that's kind of really a lot of it kind of comes down to. But it's also too, I mean, just doing it, the problem really is that a lot of the people that do income reports, most of their income will come from their blog. And so, or, and because it will come from their blog, it doesn't really hurt them to share their income reports. Like if, right, if you, if most of your income comes from, say like a product you're selling on your blog or your advertising on the blog or products you recommend to people on your blog, then there's not really any downside of you sharing that. But on the flip side, if I'm like, oh, this is a, here's a website that I have that's making $1,500 a month from AdSense and it makes $300 a month from Amazon and $200 a month from Linkshare, then it's kind of like a, it's kind of a problem, right? Because I don't want to share this website because I don't want to deal with, as the site continues to grow, I don't want to deal with people that are trying to copy what I'm doing. So the problem I have now is that most of my money does not come from my blog. I mean, some, like a good chunk of it comes from software now because that's what I've focused on for the past year or so. But it's like, do I really want to give my competitors, oh, hey, this is the software product that I released that's doing the best. Mm-hmm. So I have to think about that. I mean, last year I had a really good product that I released and made 50,000 plus profit in that 1 month. Do I think that, that people that are trying to decide who they should learn from, or they're just looking for blogs to learn from, would think that, hey, this guy made 50 grand last month, he's probably going to be able to provide some good information? Yeah, I'm sure. But, I also have to think about the other side where it's like competitors that can just cruise for these types of things. I mean, even if you just use Pat Flynn as an example, as soon as he shared his security guard training site, I was like, I know everyone's just going to copy it. And sure enough, they did. Yeah. I think that there's, when it comes to his blog and maybe Spencer from Niche Pursuits, when they've done that public type thing, then you've got other people that are blogging as well. And then they're linking to that site and talking about it as well. So I think that it's kind of like by doing the case study, they're getting additional SEO value from all these other people that are talking about them and their case study. And that kind of can help them. But,
and I think that's interesting. The whole doing it for credibility and doing it for perception. The Empire Flippers, Justin and Joe, actually talked about this in one of their most recent episodes, where they mentioned that whenever they put out their income reports, you know, most of their audience are like, oh yeah, that's really cool. But then they have this one group that emails them and says, you're so full of crap, you know, and I'll use your word, you're such a douche for making up these numbers. There's no way you guys are doing these numbers. But then they have another group of people that are emailing them and being like, that's all you guys are making? You know, we thought you guys were so much more successful in this. So they're, you know, they're doing it obviously to tell people that they're doing well and give themselves some credibility and build their perception through legitimate numbers, but they have all kinds of reactions to it. So how do you decide which one of those is most valuable? Is it the perception of the people that are believing what you say, or, you know, are you risking turning off the other people on both sides?
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I think that it's kind of like, I mean, last year I made more money than I did the previous year. I think the previous year is the last time I did like a yearly income report. But it's kind of getting to the point where, do I become unrelatable to be talking about this? I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get, I know that even by talking about any of this, I'm going to get haters. And for the haters, I just kind of brush it off, right? I mean, sometimes they kind of annoy me. Like I donated a well. And this is after I had that great month. I was planning to buy a well from Charity Water, and they're $5,000 each. And World Water Day, when I was thinking about this, just happened to be that day. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it. And I wrote a blog post about it just to try and get other people to maybe donate. And of course, I got like two people. Oh, this is what rich people do. They don't help out at local areas or whatever. But it's like, they don't even know what I do with my free time. And I got a couple of those comments, but it's kind of like, you know, it's just, if you want to come in and crap where I eat, then that's fine. I mean, you know, if I'm just saying, that's just what's going to happen sometimes, but.
Oh, God.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that it's tough because if I'm coming back to that software type thing, I have a business partner on that and we have like a team of developers it's about WordPress plugins and WordPress types of themes. So we're basically developing like a monthly service that, so people can just pay for one thing and then get like a lot of stuff that we develop. And that's kind of what we're going for. I can talk about it more when it's actually out, but the challenge is that if I start doing these income reports, and I say, even if I were to try and be less, specific, like websites, and then just say, a number, and then software, a number, you know, whatever, then it's still going to be, if people know that I'm spending all this time and they start to see, oh, he's making $40,000 a month right now from his software business or something like that, then I might have, yeah, I don't know. So it's kind of, that's a challenge, right? Is that a lot of the times I see that people are doing the income reports, are doing them, but it doesn't hurt them in any way or expose them to any risk.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Well, I know you were talking about like people copying what you're doing because was it Spencer? He built the knife site or whatever.
Yeah.
And some guy just completely ripped him off. And then that guy outranked him on Google. And that was just because, yeah, like you said, he shared the site and everything. And with Pat's security guard training, I mean, I think those results were probably skewed, like you mentioned, because, well, first he gets all this traffic to it anyway, and then all these people are trying to copy it. So, I mean, I know what you said about the copying, and that reminded, because Dan told me about what happened to Spencer and how he got completely ripped off by someone who copied his site exactly and then outranked him on Google.
So what do you do to combat something like that, Chris? Or if somebody does look at your income reports that you release and somehow they're able to take advantage of them and use them against you, like some of those stories happened. Have you ever had that happen? And what would you do if it did happen?
Well, I think that for both those guys, I think the benefit of doing a public case study outweighs the negative downsides. Sure, they're going to have people copying them, but both they and I as well make money from hosting referrals and all that, and those pay pretty good money. And then additionally, like in Spencer's case, he makes money from his keyword software, which is great software too. So people that are reading his case study can see that he's able to pick a niche using his software, come up with content ideas, again, using his software, et cetera. And so that probably helps him sell quite a few copies as well. So I think that that's kind of I really think that the public case studies have a lot of value. That's why I have a site that I've been somewhat working on for a while now, kind of gathering content. And I think I might actually just do it during the do a site where I talk about everything that I do with it. Because in this case, this is a site where it'd be somewhat related to the content of my blog. And so sharing how much money I'm making from the site might just only help serve to drive more traffic to it. So I think that it's kind of a challenge, I guess, is that on the one side, you're going to have people that are going to hate you. Well, people are going to hate you no matter what. If you're talking about anything in general in life, people are going to hate on your success or whatever because they're not successful and they're upset about their lives and terrible people. But that's kind of that's why I think for like Justin and Joe, people that get the emails that are like hating on them for releasing or whatever, I wouldn't even listen to those guys. I don't know. I think I've gotten to the point where when you're out and kind of public and talking about those type of things, you're just going to get people that hate you. And so you get to the point where you're like, well, whatever.
Well, let's look at someone who is at just a regular job and they want to move into this space. Should they, I know you just had an interview with Josh Dorkin about building an online community. Should they first do the like building niche sites and stay anonymous, like you were saying, online and make money that way? Or should they start with the build community, get your face out there and maybe risk something at your job? I don't know. Which way should they choose?
I think that's somewhat of a challenge because, you know, I think that part of the reason why I think I was fired from my job is because I was kind of vocal about what I was doing on the side, which is kind of a bad idea. I mean, because I was working a sales job where technically I can work as much as I want, even though I'm salaried and then commission. So, you know, my coworker who I worked with on all of our software and hardware deals, because I was a computer type seller guy, I think he got to the point where he's like, man, I need someone that is super dedicated to the 9-to-5 and going to put in the extra hours. But I meanwhile, I'm like telling him, hey, dude, I just made $1,500 from Amazon last month. It's awesome. And that was like in the middle of the year. And then by the end of the year, it was a lot more than that. So, and that's when I got fired. So, I don't know. I think that there's, I think it's risky to be out there and publicly do that, because I've read other types of stories of people that were out there doing it, and then their employer finds you, like, hey, what's the deal with this? You here you are on this site, and I see you've had it for 6 months, and you're writing all this content. They can kind of tell that you're not. I think employers, they can see that you're not 100% dedicated to their business.
Mm-hmm.
It's risky. But I think that, you know, everything has its upsides and downsides. Everyone thinks about, you know, the grass really truly is greener, because when I was working at a day job, I was always thinking about, what can I do to not be doing this? How can I make money and do what I want and kind of build my own thing? And well, now that I'm here, it's like doing conversations like this and knowing that I can get it exposed and talk to other people and connect with them is more exciting to me than anything else I'm probably doing today.
Well, that's great.
Because sometimes it just gets boring. You know, I'm sitting at home by myself. So I think that there's kind of positives and negatives to that type of thing. I mean, sometimes you might find, oh, the job I was working really wasn't that bad. But if it really is that bad, then and you want to do some stuff on the side, I think it's risky to put your face to it. Just use someone else's face and then someone else's name.
Well, use your face.
Sure. I mean, that's people do that all the time. They use pen names and other people's faces, yeah, and stuff.
If you're sitting around alone all the time, you need a dog or something, or a baby or
have
something
a dog
to keep you busy.
And okay. Yeah, I get that going.
I think you said baby, too. Are you having a baby, too?
Yeah. No, my wife, she's not working anymore either now, so she stays home.
Okay. So you got someone keeping you company at least.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. So I want to go back to two things you said separately, but kind of bring them together a little bit. You talked about how Google's AdWords keyword tool was either changing, or I think you said it was actually disappearing. And I've been out of the loop on that a little bit. But then you also talked about Spencer's Longtail Pro. And I know you work with Spencer on some other products, so you're probably more in tune with the whole thought process than maybe anyone else. Does he have a plan for that, or do you have an idea for what's going to change there, or what needs to change?
Yeah, I messaged him. There won't be any disruption with his service, because they're actually just moving it to another area that requires you to be logged in, I think. So instead of just going to this tool, and you don't necessarily have to log in, if you filled out the CAPTCHA form or if you logged in, you could get more search results from the Google mm-hmm. AdWords keyword tool. But now if you go to, I think it's Keyword Planner or something like that within AdWords, then you can still get access to the same data, but you still have to log in. So it's really not like a huge change, but of course, because Google makes a change that can look somewhat negative, all the mm-hmm. people are up in arms.
Yeah, always. Everything that happens, it causes a S-storm kind of thing going on. You've talked a little bit about your software business, how that's kind of the moneymaker right now. Is your software business something that you publicly talk about as far as what it is and what you do, or is that something you keep under wraps for the reasons we've discussed?
Part of the reason why I did this is I was doing individual plugins and individual themes, just again based on pain points that I was having. Like the first plugin that I built was an Amazon plugin. It's easyazon.com, and it's just I was annoyed about having to go to amazon.com to create an affiliate link. I was like, how can I just put this into a plugin and then have it be able to create text links, image links, a block of information about a product, automatically change the links based on which country the person's coming from, all that stuff. I know I can't do just with a manual affiliate link from Amazon. So it was time saving and all those other things. So that's what I built out. And that's one that I have shared publicly. But I mean, most people, if they're on their email list from buying something, they'll have seen a product that I've sold because I've promoted it to them when I've released it. Those things are still public, but the actual the service that we're building, it's a monthly subscription service, and then access to, you know, everything, tons of plugins, and then we're starting with plugins, and then we'll be doing themes as well. But that thing we haven't talked about yet, because it's not we're still actually testing it to finish it out.
So is there anything that you work on that is under, you know, under wraps, and you plan on keeping under wraps for the reasons we discussed, or is it just a matter of you don't want to release information about it during development because you want to kind of gain the edge on the market before you do that?
A kind of a combination of both. Most of the things that I do, I don't talk about as publicly anymore. When I was doing my income reports, talking about Amazon earnings, I wasn't I wasn't sharing the sites that I was using to make that money because of the reasons I knew that people would just copy them, right? So, I mean, most of the stuff is kind of like the Easy Azon, that's an example. That's something that you can see. I'm in the process of, that's just yet another long line of to-do list items to kind of rebrand it, or not rebrand, but to redo the sales material and all that, to update it for a new version that we're releasing and to kind of make it look more mainstream as opposed to an auto-playing video. It's kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of just another marketing thing. But I mean, most of the stuff, software-wise, people will have seen it if I've promoted it, and that's fine. No one really can kind of knows which products make the most, so that's fine. But when it comes to like websites, I don't really talk about those. I mean, here's another one. Otherwise, I did do as an example. I bought CopycatCrafts.com, which is a do-it-yourself crafting site for primarily the female audience, and I just wanted to use it as an example to say, here's a site I bought $4,000, and this is why I bought it. You know, I was getting all this traffic, and here's how much money it was making. And it wasn't making a ton of money at the time. But I knew that with the traffic, and just because I know how much websites can make, you know, if you do them properly, bought the site, improved it, and then made the money back in 7 months. And then I showed like 12 months later what the 12 months from purchase date, how much I'd made. And it was like made $3,500 profit and then paid back the site. So now I have an asset that's making money. It's not making as much money as when I did that case study, because for one reason, one of the advertisers doesn't pay as much. But that's like an example of something. And I could send you a link to that if you want to include it in your notes. But I mean, there's some stuff I do publicly. But and with buying websites, I think it's less risk of someone copying, because people will know that it's like, okay, well, here's a site that this guy bought. And like, I bought another site that was started in early 2010. So people are going to have to know, okay, he has a 3.5 year head start. It's probably better if I just find something else.
Do you recommend for people who are interested in getting into software and stuff like that, who can't do all the coding and stuff, do you recommend finding one developer to always work with, or are you one of those that you can like pick and choose for each different project?
I think it's, you have a couple. I think I like to go with multiple, because that way, if the one that I like is busy, I can work with another one and be fine. For some things like graphics, I use the same guy for graphics. But I would say the biggest point is, don't try and do everything yourself. Like, as an example, the Kindle book that I released, I didn't even write or read it. I paid people to do both of those things. So, I mean, you can get to the point where if you want to, you don't have to be doing everything yourself. Like, and that's why I see a lot of, if programmers listening, I see a lot of programmers struggle because they can do all the programming, but they don't know how to market the thing. But, you know, likewise, if you think you can do everything yourself, like, sure, I know how to open up Photoshop and kind of change the size of an image or whatever, but can I just pay some guy $15 to make a book cover for me that's going to be way better than anything I can do, that I can spend all day doing? So it's like, I mean, that's kind of what...
Did you ever go through that phase where you were trying to do everything yourself and try and learn how to, like, I don't know, like, code your website and do everything all at once? Did you go through that phase ever?
Yeah, it sucked. I mean, I went through, like, when I first started, I was trying to do... Like, I started with forums, and I was trying to do all these different types. I would spend like 4 hours trying to just get AdSense to center a line. I mean, not that long, but you know what I mean? Like, I would spend a lot of time doing all this stuff. At the time when I first started, there weren't any software tools really available to help make things easier. And so now I see all these people struggling, like, oh, you're trying to sell me something. But it's like, well, yeah, because... Freaking gonna be way longer time for you to do this if you try and do it yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what motivates most of the things that I build, is because I hate spending my time doing things that could be done faster, regardless of whether I want to sit and play Xbox early or not. Or
do you need to have this huge amount of cash to be working with a developer, or can you ever like share equity in it or anything like that? Have you ever tried anything like that?
I mean, I think you can do that, but I think it's kind of a risk. So I'll give you an example. Most of the, actually almost every partnership that I've done, I'm trying to think now if there has been one that's been successful. They almost always fail because what I found is that people that are trying to partner, it's like they're trying to, it's because they like don't believe in themselves or don't believe in whatever it is. Sometimes, like a lot of times they aren't strategic partnerships where it's like you're getting together with someone that can do something that, that you can't.
Yeah.
And so I guess in your example, yeah, you could do that and it would be a strategic type of partnership, but it's kind of like if you don't believe in it enough to just be able to invest the money and do it yourself, then it's maybe it's not something that, that will work out. So I feel like there's some risk that needs to be involved, but yeah, I mean, I think that if there's any type of deals where you can do that, maybe you could partner on the deal for the first one. And if you can make money with it, that'd be great. And then you can be like, okay, I don't need to partner again. I can do my own thing. And so that's always something to consider doing.
So you talked a little bit about your websites that you've bought, and then you bought domain names and established websites. So you have kind of experience in the full spectrum of things there. For instance, Copycat Crafts, do you buy something like that at off Flippa or from the Empire Flippers type setup, or are you actually doing the research to find where these hidden gems are?
I mean, ideally, the latter is where you can make your most money. Because if you're able to buy a website from someone that's not actively marketing it for sale, then you can get a good deal. Or sometimes too, like a lot of the reasons why people have come to me and sold me their sites, because I can be like, look, I can wire you $10,000 in 2 days if you want to sell your website.
Yeah.
And so otherwise, you're going to have to list on a Flippa, and you might have to deal with someone, some jerk that's going to buy the site and then not pay you. And because they're located outside the U.S., what are you going to do? It's not enough money to bother trying to legally go after them or anything like that. So, I mean, that's kind of that, and that's why sometimes I bought sites from people that are just coming to me because they know that I buy sites. But in that case, that was one where I was on an email list mastermind from some conference I went to a while back. And, this lady was asking about where she could sell her site. And I was like, hey, I might be interested in buying it. And she knows, and she knew when she was selling it, there's more potential of doing it. And oftentimes too, like you'll see some sites that have a lot of traffic. You can just buy them and just put some ads on them and all that. And you can almost just run them into the ground and make more money from running them into the ground and not really doing anything on them than to make up for the purchase price. But I think that's a really long-term strategy. So,
well, I think we've taken enough of your time, but we do want to know, is make money on the internet online, or make money on the internet.com still your place that you send people to, or do you have a different place?
Yeah, it is. But you can see, that's why I need to change it. You got too many words in there.
Too many words, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll admit it. I have it bookmarked, so I don't have to
type it all in.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm switching to, it'll be a two-word domain name when I switch. And
okay.
It'll be something that has income in it, because that kind of comes back to the one that I had that I was thinking about, which I can maybe tell you guys later. But or something else that I'll come up with later today. I set a goal to finally, and this is something that I've been trying to do for a long, I've been thinking I needed to do this for a long time. So it's kind of really bad that it's taken me this long, but.
but you don't want to jump into anything. Like, I don't know if you jumped in the first time. I mean, it sounds like you did your research, but you want to be even extra careful because you don't want to have to do this a third time for sure.
And I won't do it a third time. What I switch to next will be the last thing I switch to. It's kind of bad as it is now. I mean, that's, most of the time I'd say not to, but I just think that the negatives that we outlined before just kind of outweigh, rather the positives.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my blog and you can check it out there.
And we'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes in case anybody did get confused by the miscommunication of the name or anything. make money on the internet.com. Chris Guthrie, thank you so much for joining us on the Showdown today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Entrepreneur Showdown. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Now, to find out more about this show and to see the show notes, check out entrepreneurshowdown.com. Leave us some feedback in the comment section and let us know what you think. And if you like what you've heard, do us a huge favor and head to the iTunes store and leave us a 5-star review. So with that, for my partner Joe Cassandra, I'm Dan Franks. We'll see you next week.